Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, July 5th, 2022, Psalm 25.
All right, Gary Brown, I know you're back in there. You can hear me. When I was running in track, yeah, come on in here. Come on. When I was running in track, you were allowed one false start. If you had one false start, you could still run as long as you didn't get two. Well, they've changed the rules now. Now, one false start, you're disqualified. That was a false start that I saw you coming down here, you know. So I'm going to put you back when I was running, so you get one more, okay? That's called grace. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. This magnificent acrostic psalm. The greatest acrostic psalm in the Word of God, Psalm 119. This is also an acrostic psalm. And I usually don't say this, but probably the last time we will be in Psalm 25 until we get to heaven. Get to heaven, you can have it taught to you again there, but we ought to finish Psalm 25 today, and every book I finish, every psalm I finish, it's like a dear friend, and I'll miss Psalm 25 a lot, but next week we'll be into a new book in the Old Testament scriptures on Tuesday. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And in these last days, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That manna from heaven, that spiritual food that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, Forces from within are weakening the United States of America, even as the world economy falters. Inflation is rising almost everywhere. The nations who once stood for human rights and dignity grow more and more willing to suppress rights in exchange for the promise of peace and safety. People are afraid. More every day, these look like the times described in the Bible as happening just before the second coming of Jesus Christ back here to planet Earth, the second advent. In biblical terms, the 7 years preceding Christ's return are known as Daniel's 70th week. But most Christians refer to those years as simply the tribulation. The Bible teaches that several things must happen before the tribulation begins. And that is includes, first, the rapture of the church will take place before the tribulation takes place. We are not in the tribulation. We're in a mess in America, and we are destroying ourselves from within. Forget about from the outside. We are doing a damn good job of destroying ourselves from within. We're not in the tribulation, but we are in a deep doo-doo. First, the rapture has to occur, followed by the Antichrist rise to prominence. We know a great deal about what will happen in the tribulation all throughout the Old Testament and then throughout the book of Revelation in the New Testament. The tribulation is described in great detail. And we know what the world will look like in those days. Now, we are not in the tribulation as we speak. We see the world looking more and more like it will during that time. And from here, it can happen with exceeding speed. The tribulation will be a time of judgments upon the earth. Those judgments will begin with the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Which says, quote, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer." That first horseman is the Antichrist, presenting himself as a false Messiah to the world. He will conquer by bringing the world into a single monetary system headed by himself. The verse mentions a bow, but no arrows. He will conquer without firing a shot. When a desperate world sees his seemingly miraculous Middle East peace treaty, it will be as if he pulled the sword from the stone, and they will quickly give him their kingdoms. The desperation we see now is the prelude to the extreme desperation that will enable him, the Antichrist, to conquer the world with amazing ease. But the era of peace and safety and international cooperation in the first part of the tribulation will be brief. The underlying antagonisms will remain. For instance, Iran, Russia, Turkey will still hate Israel. The arrival of the second horseman marks the removal of peace from the earth. The earth will be at war. Then comes the black horse, destroying lives and economies with hyperinflation. And then arrives the pale horse, leaving death in its wake. And those are just the beginning of tribulation's judgments. No, we're not in the tribulation right now. We're in the church age. The rapture has not happened, which concludes the church age. The hurricane has not arrived, but the wind has picked up and is beginning to rain. The barometric pressure is dropping, and in the distance we see a dark, threatening sky. It's a good time to draw close to the Lord and His Word. What we do here five times a week is more important than anything else you will ever do in this life. Assembling to grow up in the grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. Yes, it is a good time to draw close to the Lord and His Word, and to spread that Word everywhere. We stand remarkably close to the culmination of the age and the beginning of something glorious. Psalm 25. We are in the last paragraph, verses 16 to 22, which is David's prayer for deliverance. And of course, for those of you who have been here, and most of Upland Bible Church is spread all over the United States and different parts of the world. For those who are on the MP3 discs or getting the emails, why, you're very aware of Psalm 25, and the author is Le David, David. And this great acrostic psalm deals with, he wrote it while he was in the desert south of Jerusalem. He was driven out of power by his own son, Absalom. Absalom usurped the authority of the throne. Absalom started a revolution. He got all of the 12 tribes of Israel to join him in his revolution to drive his father David out of power. Also, David's number one man in the cabinet, Ahithophel, joined Absalom's revolution. And he, being the grandfather of Bathsheba, he wanted to kill David. David failed miserably. We have his failures. He got involved with adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And Ahithophel, Bathsheba's grandfather, could never ever forget and forgive David for that. So he joined Absalom's revolution, and he was a brilliant mind. And he wanted to see David executed, killed. So David, here he is. He's out of power. A few establishment forces have gone with him. There, he left everything back in the palace. He had to leave almost immediately. And while he's out in the deserts, he writes Psalm 25, this great psalm which has so many principles of doctrine that are very important for us right now in the time in which we live. And we're in the last part of it, David's prayer for deliverance, verses 16 to 22. Let's start at verse 16. And there are a lot of verbs here in the imperative mood. But in a prayer, you don't ever command God the Father what to do. And this is a special imperative. It's called the imperative of entreaty. The imperative of entreaty is what you present in prayers. And it's a polite command. And so when it says, turn to me, that's the imperative mood. The best way to translate that is, please hear my prayer. That's the imperative of entreaty. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me, because I am isolated and afflicted. He's under great adversity and pressure. Verse 17. The pressures, troubles, distress of my heart have increased. May you bring me out from my pressures and distresses. That is, deliver me from personal disaster and national disaster. Verse 18. Look at my affliction, the soul pressure from the Absalom revolution and civil war, and my trouble, distress, the four installments of divine discipline. And for the past 15 years, David has gone through four installments of divine discipline. He's at the end of it. This is the very end of it. And he rebounded 15 years ago. He has been growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. He shares the happiness of God, and he is now the greatest point spiritually that he's ever been in his entire life. And take away the punishment for all my sins. Verse 19. Look at my enemies, because they have multiplied, and they hate me with the hatred of violence. And then that brings us to verse 20. You have protected my life in the path. This is a wall of fire. David has seen God deliver him from certain death again and again and again. You have protected my life in the path, wall of fire. Now, may you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed and get back into the cosmic system, because I take refuge in you. And that's the verb for the faith rest life. This is a very special word in the Hebrew. It's kasa. David is living the faith rest life. And that verb kasa was used of a rabbit running into the cleft of the rock for refuge. And what David, by using this verb, he is taking refuge in the cleft of the rock. And who is the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ. He has maximum confidence in the rock, Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver him. Becoming ashamed and disturbed in mind is living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. David has already been there. He's been there and done that. He is totally recovered and he does not want to go there again. David knows the Lord, he loves the Lord, and therefore he shares the happiness of God even in this crisis and national disaster. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, only metabolized doctrine in the heart can result in virtue, love being brought to completion in your heart, being occupied with Christ, sharing the happiness of God, and having self-contained happiness in any situation. And so, verse 20, you have protected my life in the past, the wall of fire. Now may you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed. Get back into the cosmic system, because I take refuge in you. Kasa. That's verse 20. And then verse 21, the Tav file. The Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It means the signature, the bottom line, a seal. And the bottom line of David's prayer is made up of two parts in verse 21. Part one, as a spiritually mature believer, he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And therefore, he is a man of honor and integrity. And then part two of verse 21, the bottom line, as a spiritually mature believer, he is living the faith-rest life to the maximum. And in the Old Testament times, spirituality was living the faith-rest life. May integrity and honor protect and preserve me. Verse 21. David is a righteous believer with integrity and honor in his soul. Virtue love has been brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and therefore he is also occupied with Jesus Christ. The prayer of a grace righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. James 5:16. And that's what we're witnessing right here in Psalm 25. So in this prayer, David is confident that God is going to protect him, that God is going to deliver him in this national crisis and civil war. Because I eagerly wait for you. Another great word in the Hebrew to describe the faith rest life. In fact, this is the most powerful of all of the words in the Hebrew describing the faith rest life. Kava. And kava is often translated to wait for or to look eagerly for. It was originally used of making a rope. You start out with a few little strands, which by themselves are easily broken, but when they're woven into a rope, they become a powerful rope that cannot break. By himself, David is just a weak little strand. However, as a grace-righteous believer who knows and loves the Lord, David has maximum faith rest life, maximum confidence in the Lord. And therefore, David has become a gigantic, powerful rope which nothing can break. Maximum confidence in God and His Word. Kava is the strongest word for the faith rest life. David has absolute confidence that the Lord is going to protect him and deliver him. May integrity and honor protect and preserve me, because I eagerly wait for you. Kava, maximum confidence in the Lord. Maximum faith rest life. Then we started to summarize verse 21. And we have studied the first 8 points in our summary of verse 21. We're not finished with the summary. We got the first 8 points. You got those 8 down, Gary? You got all 8 down? Oh, let's see, that helps if you false start, you see. Point one, faith rest was the basic system of spirituality among Old Testament believers like David. Two, they didn't have the indwelling and filling of the Spirit for spirituality in the Old Testament because there was no universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so that didn't occur until the church age. The faith rest life, point three, produces in the believer both a relaxed mental attitude and freedom from mental attitude sins. Four, the faith rest life of the spiritually mature believer provides great inner peace in the soul. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Five, the faith rest life is that problem-solving device used by believers in all dispensations for carrying and using the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. Six, believers have choices. Believers have choices every time any adversity, any prosperity, and sometimes prosperity can be a greater test than adversity. Believers have choices every time any adversity, any prosperity, or any situation which might be detrimental occurs. You can either make good decisions to live the faith rest life and enter into God's rest, inner peace, self-contained happiness, contentment, tranquility of soul. Or you can use your free will to commit the sins of fear, worry, anxiety, and turn adversity into stress of the soul. Seven, God's rest is sharing the happiness of God, the tranquility and tremendous contentment which comes from knowing the essence of God and the plan of God in the midst of the greatest confusions and adversities of life. For the Christian, God's rest is entering into His happiness, and true rest is having self-contained happiness in your soul. And then point eight, and we got all of point eight. When you live the faith rest life, you are capable of facing any problem in life, and you are capable of making the right choices in resolving the problems. And the faith rest life includes three different stages. Stage one, faith reaches out and claims the promise. In the Word of God, there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And as you grow up, you learn these promises. Some of you even keep promise notebooks and have them. Faith reaches out and claims the promise. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear lest a promise being unclaimed of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So you start out, the first stage, you take a promise and you claim it by faith. That gets your head above water. And now you can think. The objective then is to think. You claim a promise and now you think and you go to stage two. Stage two, faith reaches out and claims a doctrinal rationale. And two things are needed for stage two. First of all, you need a stronger faith from consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And secondly, you need to learn the whole realm of Bible doctrine, which gives the faith rest drill options. You increase the options to meet the stress and the pressures of life. Stage two of the faith rest mechanics demands understanding of five areas of doctrine found in the Scriptures. The essence of God rationale, the plan of God rationale. We've gone through these in quite some detail The essence of God rationale, the plan of God rationale, the policy of God rationale, which is grace orientation, the a fortiori rationale, the 10 problem solving devices. And those 10 problem solving devices include rebound, the filling of the Spirit, the faith rest life, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Christ, and sharing the happiness of God. And then that brings you to stage 3. Faith reaches out and comes to the doctrinal conclusion. If God is for you, who can be against you? And this results in you being in control of the situation. Now that we just barely got started in point nine we got to, you have failure to live the faith rest life results in the building up of stress in your soul. So point nine is the failure to live the faith rest life. Failure to live the faith rest life results in the building up of stress in your soul. Stress in your soul cannot be cured by any system of counseling. Stress in the soul knocks out the filling of the Spirit. You are no longer living the spiritual life. By your own free will, by your own volition, you have committed emotional sins of fear, worry, anxiety, bitterness, anger, jealousy, sometimes even sins of the tongue like gossip, maligning, and judging. And now you are living in Satan's cosmic system. Now, we're still in point nine here, and we're going to look at a few principles of stress and adversity. Doctrinal principles of stress and adversity. This is underneath point nine. One, adversity is an outside pressure. Adversity is an outside pressure, while stress is an inside pressure. Adversity is an outside pressure, while stress is an inside pressure. Two, stress is what you do to yourself. Stress is what you do to yourself. Adversity is what circumstances do to you. Stress is what you do to yourself. Well, adversity is what circumstances do to you. Three, adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. Four. Stress in the soul destroys the spiritual life of the believer. Stress in the soul destroys the spiritual life of the believer. Now you've turned over the control of your soul to the sin nature. Now you're living your life in the cosmic system. So failure to live the faith rest life results in the building up of stress in your soul. Point 10. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That is, by the power of the Spirit of God. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. You will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. We're commanded to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. You find a sound doctrinal teaching church and you get as much truth, grace and truth as you can and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So that's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, the power of the Word of God from consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. And third, the development of the 10 problem-solving devices out on the flat line of your soul. Forward line of troops. You need a forward line of troops out here on the flat line of the soul that prevents the conversion of the outside pressures of adversity into the inside pressures of stress in the soul. So point 10 again, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God in your heart, and the development of the 10 problem-solving devices on the flat line of the soul, which prevents the conversion of the outside pressures of adversity into the inside pressures of stress in the soul. 11. There is no system of counseling in this world that can replace the function of the faith rest life. There is no system of counseling in this world that can replace the function of the faith rest life. Well, the faith rest life executes divine mandates such as forgetting those things which are behind and moving on with your own spiritual life. So the faith rest life executes divine mandates such as forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting all those injustices that have happened toward you. Look at David. No one had injustices like him from his own son. From his own son, Absalom, who David loved Absalom dearly, and it broke his heart. It broke his heart to see Absalom. He was in reversionism. He was making bad decisions after bad decisions after bad decisions. He formed a revolution, conspiracy, and revolution to have David overthrown. It broke David's heart. Injustice, totally injustice. Ahithophel, totally injustice. You have people joined the revolution from all 12 tribes, joined the conspiracy and revolution. Injustice. David is the greatest king ever in the history of the nation Israel. So the faith rest life executes divine mandates such as forgetting those things which are behind. Injustices directed toward you. No one had it any more greater than David did, and moving on with your own spiritual life. 13. This means that the faith rest life has the power to avoid reaction to every injustice. The faith rest life has the power to avoid reaction to every injustice, to every act of unfairness, to every wrong that has ever been committed against you. And that's where David is. He is living the faith rest life to the maximum. He's had great injustices to him, great unfairness toward him, and many wrongs committed against him. And yet, he's living the faith rest life and not converting this into stress. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And he has impersonal love for all. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. The other side of the coin, he shares the happiness of God. And he is sharing the happiness of God. He is not converting all of this adversity into stress. He's living the faith rest life. So this is very important. 13. This means that the faith rest life has the power to avoid reaction to every injustice, every act of unfairness, every wrong that has ever been committed against you. 14. It has the power to avoid reaction to all injustices in life, and to put them in the hands of the Supreme Court of Heaven and faith rest it. It has the power to avoid reaction to all injustices in life and put them in the hands of the Lord in the Supreme Court of Heaven and faith rest it, and let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord take care of it. And that's what David's doing. And that's why in all of this great injustice, unfairness, and wrongs brought against him by his own son, by the number one guy he had in his cabinet, Ahithophel, by all of the people that joined the conspiracy and the revolution, so it has the power to avoid reaction to all injustices in life and put them in the hands of the Lord, the Supreme Court of Heaven, and leave it there and let him handle it. 15. The believer living the faith rest life has maximum confidence that the one who is in you, the living and true God, is greater than the one who is in the world, Satan. The believer living the faith rest life has maximum confidence that the one who is in you, the living and true God, is greater than the one who is in the world, Satan. Yes, Satan is the ruler of planet Earth right now, and he is in high gear. He's in high gear in America. Our nation is a We're doing a better job of imitating the Satan, the ruler of this world, than the Lord Jesus Christ. 16. For the believer living the faith rest life, the Word of God, communicated by the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, has number one priority in his scale of values. For the believer living the faith rest life, the Word of God, communicated by the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, has number one priority in his scale of values. 17. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine establishes all reality in life on the content of the God-breathed scriptures. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine establishes all reality in life on the content of the God-breathed scriptures. So a question: what is the greater reality to you in your life? Is it the outside pressures of adversity? Or the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart? For the believer living the faith rest life, the greater reality is God and His Word. So again, verses 20 and 21. You have protected my life in the past, wall of fire. You've delivered me from certain death again and again and again, David says. Now may you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed, get back into the cosmic system, because I take refuge in you. Kasa, maximum faith rest. I am hiding, taking refuge in the cleft of the rock. Verse 21. May integrity and honor protect and preserve me, because I eagerly await for you. Kava, the most powerful rope, confidence and faith rest life. May integrity and honor protect and preserve me, because I eagerly wait, kava, for you. Maximum confidence in you. Maximum faith rest life. All right, that brings us to verse 22. This last prayer, David's prayer for deliverance, which began in verse 16, it began with the pay file, verse 16. Now, in Psalm 25:22, David returns to the pay file to signify the signing off of this prayer. So verse 22, he says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. We have the cal imperative of the verb pada, plus the noun Elohim, plus the direct object marker eth, joined by a makef to the noun Yisrael, plus the preposition min, prefixed to the noun kol, and the plural of the noun tsara, with the third person singular masculine suffix. The vocative of the noun Elohim. Oh, and I missed. This is, well, see, maybe I got disqualified. See, yeah. Happy birthday, Mithu. Today is Mithu's 29th birthday. Congratulations. You robbed the... Great. Oh, you didn't? Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. It's Mithu's birthday today. Happy birthday. Congratulations. And that was my bad. I missed that one. Okay. Elohim. Looks like that. Aleph, E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim. Elohim is the word God. It is a vocative, and so it's a vocative of address. And you translate it, O God. This is God the Father. All prayers are directed toward God the Father. O God, and then the verb pada. P-A-D-A-H. Pada. A couple of things on the verb pada. One, pada literally means to ransom. It means to ransom. Two, it means to redeem, to purchase, to set free, to deliver. To redeem, to purchase, to set free, to deliver. Three, David concludes his prayer with an entreaty for the deliverance of client nation Israel. He concludes his prayer with an entreaty for the deliverance of client nation Israel from this historical crisis and national disaster. The Absalom Revolution and Civil War. Again, the imperative mood is the imperative of entreaty. 4, the prayer of the grace righteous believer David is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. And God the Father answered this prayer. Israel was delivered. The establishment forces under David defeated the revolutionary forces. David was restored as king of Israel, and he was given greater blessings than he ever had before. And then we have Yisrael. That's Y-I-S-R-A-Aleph-E-L. Yisrael. Israel. David is praying for the deliverance of client nation Israel. And then we have Mikol, which is a preposition men prefix to the noun kol. Men, M-I-N, men means from, and then the noun kol, K-O-L, kol means all. O God, deliver Israel from all of its tzara. T-S-A-R-A-H. Tzara. One, tzara comes from the verb tzarer, which means to make narrow, to press hard, to cause trouble and distress. That's the verb tzarer. To make narrow, to press hard, to cause trouble and distress. Two, therefore, the noun tzara, which is what we have, means straits, troubles, distresses. Straits, troubles, distresses. Three, tzara describes the historical crisis and national disaster of client nation Israel. Tzara describes the historical crisis and national disaster of client nation Israel. 4. It is a reference to the Absalom Revolution and the Civil War. David loves his nation. He loves the client nation to God, Israel. And he wants to see the client nation to God, Israel, delivered from this. Like many of you in here, you love the United States of America. We are the client nation to God today. I love this nation. I love this client nation to God. We are on the verge of maximum divine discipline from God. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. I love America But we're in apostasy. As a quiet nation to God, we are in apostasy. And we're still here, so there's hope. You are the key, the pivot of mature believers. The prayer of a gracious, righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. The most important thing you can do is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and become a part of the pivot. We need the pivot in this country to increase, to grow. And that's why what we do here 5 times a week is the most important thing of all. 5. These national troubles and distresses are caused by David's enemies. These national troubles and distresses are caused by David's enemies. 6. The enemies of the client nation Israel in Psalm 25 are its own people. The enemies of the client nation Israel in Psalm 25 are its own people. Absalom, Ahithophel, and all of those revolutionaries from all 12 tribes who joined this conspiracy and revolution. So the enemies of the client nation Israel isn't some nation from the outside. It's the people living in Israel. Its own people. All of the revolutionaries from all 12 tribes, Absalom, Ahithophel. 7. The client nation to God destroys itself from within long before it's destroyed from without. The client nation to God destroys itself from within long before it is destroyed from without. And that is true for the United States of America right now. The enemies of the United States of America are the people in America. Our enemies in our client nation, USA, are Americans. People living in America. Forget about the outside. It includes BLM, Black Lives Matter, was started by Marxists. It was formed and formulated by Marxists. It's a Marxist organization. What's the whole purpose? Everywhere you see BLM, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives, what is that doing? Causing division? All lives matter. All lives matter. And the United States of America has the most fantastic constitution ever. But it only operates when there's honor and virtue and integrity in our nation. All lives matter. What does that do when you make an issue out of a certain race? Division, hatred, anger, fighting, killing. Antifa, same thing. Socialism, socialists, liberals. Our enemies are our own people. Our enemies in client nation USA are our own people. Right. Most of the believers of client nation USA are living in Satan's cosmic system. Most of the believers of Client Nation USA are living in Satan's cosmic system. 10. They have rejected the truth and they have believed the lie. And therefore they are under strong delusion. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, there was a cartoon strip that I used to... I don't think that it even operates anymore. That's because when I was at Dallas Seminary, it was about 500 years ago. But I had it, and I had it put in my room at Dallas. And it was by Pogo. Do they still have Pogo anymore? They do have Pogo? Well, he had a line. He says, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." And I put that in my room. We have met the enemy, and he is us. O God, deliver Israel from all of its troubles, historical crisis, and national disaster. Verse 22. So we completed Psalm 25. Let's go back and we'll read through Psalm 25 one last time. I won't be teaching this again on this earth. Maybe in heaven, but not here. Psalm 25, the Olifile. To you, O Lord, God the Father, I lift up my soul in prayer. In you I trust. Another word for faith rest. Batak. I pick up my troubles and problems and slam them on you, sir. Oh my God, do not let me become confused and do not let my enemies rejoice in military triumph over me. Indeed, all of those who wait for you, have maximum confidence in you, living the faith rest life, they will not be put to shame or confused. However, the ones who act treacherously, deceitfully, without cause, they will be put to shame. Verse 4. Cause me to know your ways, O Lord. Intensively teach me your paths. Guide me by means of your truth, and intensively teach me, because you are the God of my deliverance. All day long I have confidence in you. Faith, rest, life. Remember your compassions, O Lord, and your grace, because they are from eternity past. Do not remember the sins of my early life, nor my rebellion living in the cosmic system. According to the norms and standards of your grace, you, Lord, remember me, protect me, deliver me for the purpose of your good, O Lord. Good and just, righteous and justice is the Lord, and therefore he teaches sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right, and he intensively teaches and trains the humble his ways. All the ways of the Lord, grace and truth for the ones who faithfully keep his covenant and his doctrines, the solemn charges and mandates of the Word of God. Verse 11. For the sake of your name, your essence, who and what you are, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, my entire life in the cosmic system, because it is great. Who is that man, the one who fears the Lord? He, the Lord, will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will spend the night suffering for blessing of the Absalom revolution in prosperity and happiness, and his seed, the seed of David, will inherit, take possession of the land, the near fulfillment, Solomon, the far fulfillment, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, the counsel of the Lord belongs to the one who fear Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore He will cause them to know His covenant, the alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord, occupation with Christ. My eyes are continually on the Lord, occupation with Christ, because He and no one else will deliver my feet out from the net. And then the last prayer for deliverance. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me, because I am isolated and afflicted under great adversity and pressure. The pressures, troubles, distress of my heart have increased. May you bring me out from my pressures and distresses. Deliver me from the personal disaster and national disaster. Look at my affliction, soul pressure from Absalom revolution and civil war, and my trouble and distress, the four installments of divine discipline, and take away the punishment for all my sins. Look at my enemies, because they have multiplied, and they hate me with the hatred of violence. You have protected my life in the past, the wall of fire, deliverance from certain death. Now may you deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed and get back into the cosmic system, because I take refuge in you. Kasa, I am taking refuge in the cleft of the rock, Jesus Christ. May integrity and honor protect and preserve me, because I eagerly wait for you. Kava, have maximum confidence in you, living the faith rest life. O God, may you deliver Israel from all of its troubles, the historical crisis, national disaster of his enemies. Psalm 25. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.